Environmental analysis, starting at page 67. This is part 2. Cultural analysis. Study cultural practices that may affect their acceptance of the gospel. Here are some to consider. 1. Beliefs and values. What cultural values, beliefs, or practices of the people might help them understand the gospel? For example, if the people have strong positive feelings about the importance of the family, the gospel's emphasis on the family would be a bridge to them. What cultural values, beliefs, or practices of the people might hinder their understanding of the gospel? Cultural practices. Are there some common cultural practices that are clearly prohibited by Scripture? If so, what are they? Practices are not wrong just because they are different from the way you do things. Practices are wrong when they conflict with God's Word. Sinful practices have to be dealt with as you reach these people with the gospel. Other cultural practices are not necessary to change. People do not have to accept your culture to accept the gospel. 3. Needs. What are the general concerns, attitudes, motives, feelings, commitments of the people? Which of the following do they consider as important needs? Do they have inadequate food, poor health and medical services, poor education, improper water and/or poor supplies of it, inadequate financial resources, inadequate geographic resources, poor transportation, poor systems of communication, inadequate housing, inability to cope with change, political oppression, or write down some others. Your presentation of the gospel and perhaps your methods of ministry in their culture can relate to these needs. What needs appear to be well met? What needs do they not have? It is important to know the needs being met as well as those not being met. For example, you would not want to use a feeding program as a method to enter a group to share the gospel if there were no hungry people and everyone is well fed. 4, education. What is their educational level? What is the literacy level? How many of the people read and write their own language? It is important to know this because you would not want to design a gospel outreach based on literature if the people do not read and write. 5, communication. Which language or languages is most suitable for presentation of the gospel? You want to reach the largest number of people in a group first, so select as first choice the language which most of the people speak. The main language spoken by people in this culture is. Other languages needed later to reach the remainder of the people are. What are the main methods of informal social communication? Does communication flow best through tribal or community leaders, along family lines? Every group has a communication network by which important news is spread through various levels. Can these people be reached through newspaper? Do they accept Christian advertisements, printed literature? Can the people to be reached read radio? Do the stations permit Christian broadcasting? Television. Do the stations permit Christian broadcasting? Tape recordings. Do the people have access to tape recorders? Movies, videotapes. Is the equipment available in this area? Telephone or internet. Do the people have telephones or internet? What is the main method of communication? External influences. What changes are taking place in this group as a result of the political system or outside forces of modernization? Can any of these changes be used to help spread the gospel? Are there government restrictions that in any way prohibit the evangelism of this people? If so, what are they? What methods could be used to reach this group that would not conflict with these regulations? What organized groups or agencies may oppose the spread of the gospel among this people group? Why? Never let restrictions or oppositions prevent you from ministering to a group to which you felt or feel that God has called you. If you are not allowed to reach them in certain ways, pray and use other methods. Political analysis. Briefly describe the political system of these people. What political groups among these people might hinder the spread of the gospel? What political groups among these people might help in the spread of the gospel? What government regulations might hinder your ministry with these people? What government regulations might assist in your ministry to these people? Who are the key political leaders among these people? You might try to make their acquaintance and try to gain their favor for your ministry to these people. Spiritual analysis. What religious groups are found among this people? How many of the people follow each religion? What makes them unhappy with their current religion? For example, magical practices that do not work for disease, etc. You can focus the gospel message to target these dissatisfactions. Is the practice of their religion increasing or decreasing? Does their religion have any written scriptures? For example, the Muslims with the Quran, etc. If so, how can you use them as a bridge to present the gospel message? This may be possible with some and impossible with others. What is the attitude of this people towards religious change of any kind? The answer to this question will prepare you for the religious opposition you might be facing. Answer the following questions about their knowledge of the Christian faith. These answers will help you determine where you must begin in your presentation of the gospel. What is the attitude of this people towards God? Do they believe a God exists? Do they deny the existence of a God? Do they know about the one true God as revealed in the Bible? Do they know about the one true God? Do they know about the one true God but are indifferent toward him? Do they know about the one true God and are hostile toward him? Jesus Christ. Do they believe that Jesus exists? Do they deny the existence of Jesus? Do they know that Jesus died for their sins? Do they not know that Jesus died for their sins? Do they know about Jesus but are indifferent toward him? Do they know about Jesus and are hostile toward him? The Holy Spirit. Do they believe the Holy Spirit exists? Do they deny the existence of the Holy Spirit? Have they never heard about the Holy Spirit? They do not understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do they understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit but are indifferent toward him? Do they understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit but are hostile toward him? The gospel. They have no awareness of the gospel. They have some knowledge of the gospel. They understand the basic truths of the gospel. They understand that it is necessary to respond personally to the gospel. They recognize their need of the gospel. They have accepted the gospel. The Bible. They never heard about the Bible. They know the Bible exists. They believe it is the Word of God. They are hostile toward the Word of God. They are indifferent toward the Bible. What is the status of Scripture translation in the language that is most suitable for reaching these people? What portions of the Scripture remain to be translated in their own language? New Testament, Old Testament, Christians. How aware are they of Christians? They never heard of a Christian. They have heard but never met one. Have met some Christians. Have true believers living among them. If there are Christians in this group, answer these questions. How many people in this group claim to be Christians? How many of these have been incorporated into a fellowship of believers or a church? How many are active in spreading the gospel? How many were Christians but have turned back from following Christ? What were the reasons that seemed to draw them away from God? Who are the key Christians among this group? Are there any tent maker believers living among these people? These are believers working at a secular occupation among these people while actively sharing the gospel. In general, do you believe this is a time for sowing the gospel among these people or a time for reaping? Usually, more workers are needed when an area is spiritually ripe for harvest. What Christian churches or missions have been attempted in this group and failed? What do you believe were the reasons for their failure? You can learn from the failures of others and not repeat the same mistakes. What Christian churches or missions are now active within the area where the majority of the people live? Obtain their names and addresses. Which of these are effective, and why are they effective? You can learn from the successes of these groups. You will also want to cooperate with them in spreading the gospel to these people. How can you cooperate with them to reach this people group? If there is a Christian witness present, what language or languages are being used? You may be led to reach people in this group who speak a different language and are not currently being reached by the present Christian witness. What types of Christian ministry are presently being done among these people? For example, if there is already an effective feeding program for the hungry being used as a gospel witness, do not duplicate efforts. Your goal is to reach the unreached and/or expand efforts to reach these people, not duplicate efforts or compete with existing ministries. What is the attitude of the people toward these existing Christian missions? Hostile? Indifferent? Friendly? If there are true gospel churches among this group, answer these questions. How many true gospel churches have been established among these people? How fast are they growing? What difficulties are they experiencing and why? Which ones are successful and why? Is there a need to establish more churches? If there is no existing Christian witness among the people you are studying, has another Christian agency had experience reaching a similar group? You could draw on their experience in a similar group to reach the group you are studying. Can you determine what principalities and powers of Satan are active in this people group? The Bible teaches that there are certain spiritual forces active among certain groups and over certain geographic areas. See Daniel 10. Note especially verse 13. Also see Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 17. Prayer will usually reveal what principalities and powers are in operation. Sometimes observation and study of the history of a people, area, nation, or region will also assist in identifying the spiritual forces in operation. For example, in one place in the United States, there are many homosexuals. It is quite easy to identify by observation the ruling spirit of homosexuality in this people group and their city. Another city in the United States developed because of a rush of people to search the area for gold. The spirit of greed is still ruling that city today. When you identify these spiritual forces, you must bind them in prayer and loose the power of the Holy Spirit to work among these people. There is a Harvest Time course entitled Spiritual Strategies, a Manual of Spiritual Warfare, which provides further study on this subject. Who should reach them? Who should reach these people? Who can speak their language? Who would be accepted by their culture and social structure? Use the information you gathered on their culture and social structure to help you determine this. Also use the information on Christian agencies that have tried and been successful or tried and failed. Who they used may have affected their success or failure. Whoever goes to share the gospel should be a believer with evidence of this in their lifestyle, attitudes, and behavior. Have good personal prayer and Bible study habits. Have spiritual gifts properly suited to the methods to be used to reach the people. Be available. Ability is no good without availability. Is the person willing and ready to go? Be properly fitted into the body, willing to cooperate with other members for the goal of reaching these people with the gospel. Be called of God to minister to these specific people. God calls people to specific groups, just as Paul was called to reach the Gentiles and Peter the Jews. Be adequately prepared physically, spiritually, and educationally to reach this specific group. Remember that Gideon had to trim down his army to those few who were particularly equipped. How should they be reached? What methods should be used? To answer these questions, use what you learned about their culture and social structure. Focus methods on what will meet their needs. Use the best methods of communication. Be sure your methods are scriptural. Do not use any method that conflicts with biblical principles. Here is a list of various methods that have been used as part of evangelistic strategy in different areas of the world, which of these might be effective in reaching this people group? Radio broadcasts, television programs, Christian literature such as books, magazines, and tracts, audio cassettes, video cassettes, films, Bible study classes in the home, church, or community meeting place, correspondence courses, Bible schools and colleges, training for Christian laymen, secular newspapers and magazines, witnessing from house to house, musical concerts, special evangelistic services in the church, open-air meetings such as crusades, streets and parks, Christian schools for children providing elementary and secondary education, health care, emergency relief, care given in time of famines, disasters, etc., employment and job skills assistance, where unemployment is a major problem, food distribution, agricultural assistance, Christian art and drama, specialized outreach teams for youth, children, men, women, etc., literacy work, helping people learn to read and write, child care ministry, child care assistance for working parents, jail ministry, ministry to special groups, physically or mentally handicapped, drug addicts, alcoholics, unwed mothers, elderly, etc. After you have determined the methods by prayer and analysis, ask this question: what opposition may be raised against these methods by either the people group or external forces? How can you deal with this opposition? Formulate a plan. The analysis you have completed is of no benefit unless you use what you learned about the people you studied. These people will not be reached by study alone. You must make a plan to reach them with the gospel. In the last chapter, you made a plan to fulfill your own personal ministry. In this and following chapters, you will make a plan to reach people, geographic areas, nations, and regions of the world. Chapter 11, A Strategy for Planning, will help you to do this. For further study, study Hosea chapter 7. This chapter is God's spiritual analysis of the people groups known as the Ephraimites and the Samaritans, which were part of the nation of Israel. These people did not realize their true spiritual condition. Verse 9. Gray hairs, when applied spiritually, is a sign of declining spiritual strength and approaching spiritual death. In the natural world, it is one thing to have gray hairs. It is another thing to have them and not know it. It is contrary to nature for a person to have gray hair and not know it. God's problem with his people is not that they have gray hairs, but that they have them and do not know it. Having gray hairs and not knowing it is an example of an unexamined life. Verse 2 records that they considered not in their hearts. In their own hearts, they did not recognize the signs of declining spiritual strength and approaching spiritual death, gray hairs. Here are some things that caused their declining spiritual strength. Examine your own heart as you study this list. A spiritual appearance. God used an oven to illustrate this in verses 6 and 7. The fire in the oven appeared to be out, but in reality was smoldering. Do you know people whose outward appearances is good? They act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, do good works, but inside the fires are smoldering. There is hurt, resentment, anger, criticism, envy, greed, unforgiveness. God opens the oven door to reveal the problem. He allows circumstances to come into our lives to enable us to discover we do not have the victory we thought we had. Partial obedience. God uses a half-baked cake to illustrate this in verse 8. They had done some things God commanded, but left others undone. Partial obedience is total disobedience. A woman who is 85% faithful to her husband is actually 100% unfaithful to him. Unstable loyalty. This is illustrated by the example of a silly dove in verse 11. These people followed any voice that promised help, example, Egypt, Assyria, etc. Looking here and there will not solve your problems. The solution is not in Egypt or Assyria. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unreliable service. This is illustrated by a faulty bow in verse 16. God compares these people to a slack bowstring that has lost its effectiveness. If we are unreliable in our Christian service, we continually fall short of the goal. We are never driven to the target. We never reach the purpose God has for our lives. God wants to correct these difficulties in our lives. He said in verse 1, "They return, but not to me." God wants to heal, revive, bless, and use us, but we are reluctant to meet the requirement, which is that we must return to Him. We sometimes turn, but just enough to solve our problem. We do not return to God. It is not enough to just turn toward God. We must return to Him in total surrender.